Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you. On into the 11 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Coming up in about 25 minutes, the college football corner. Yeah, somebody tweeted us something very gross.
Okay.
And man, we try to remain professional here, especially at the beginning of segments.
I didn't read it or anything. I clicked
just the headline.
I clicked. Oh, my. Yeah. Good Lord Jesus.
Yes.
He'll never be the same again.
He won't. A man had a very bad accident on a bicycle.
He'll never be the same again.
Leave it at that. Don't click the link if someone sends it to you.
Please don't.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Don't ruin your Thursday.
Yeah, it'll never be the same.
25 minutes away from the college football corner, we'll get back into the SEC championship game. Some other news from around the league as well. And look, I know that Pac-12 news matters a tiny amount, very little. Clay Helton's coming back to USC. Yeah, interesting.
But I mean, we kind of knew that.
Yeah. I guess they couldn't do better.
Of course, some Timmy Tube sock hit him with the "I'm hearing." You know, I'm hearing that Helton is out at USC, yeah. And then all the people with the blue marks went at him.
Yeah, we'll get to Timmy and his report coming up in about 20 minutes.
I'm hearing Ma, got some good news.
Like, who are you? Are you hearing from your mom?
Ma.
Like, is that who you're hearing it from?
You'll never guess who called me. This guy that I was in computer science with. Yeah, he's hearing stuff, too.
Man, that's what sucks about
Damn
it is,
Timmy
like,
Tube,
when people that do that release reports like that, it makes a bad name for people that actually report on stories.
Yes.
Because then, like, see, you can't trust the media. Like, no, that's such a broad thing to say. Like, this person, just because he has 4,500 followers, he does a blog for USC, does not make him quote the media. Like, it's not the same thing as someone who actually reports on the program. Anyway, let's just throw them all in the same pot and be mad at the media. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40 as well. So a packed 11 o'clock hour, including West Durham, about 5 minutes from right now. Let's start by...
He can see things that maybe I can't see and talk to me about. And he's a guy that he's for Coach Rick. He's for Coach Smart. He's for the University of Georgia. And he's given a lot of his life. His family's been here to this place. And it's important to me that he does give input and he does a good job. And so does his dad.
Yeah, so that's Kirby Smart talking about Mike Bobo coming to practice.
Come on home, Bo.
In 2016.
Come on,
Bo. So that was in 2016 when he was at practice. What is interesting about it now is Mike Bobo is unemployed.
Come on home, Bo.
Didn't work out at Colorado State, or Colorado State, depending on how you say that word. I say Colorado. I do. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't. I'm not. Hey, you say how you say. I know what you meant. We're going to Colorado next week.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're going skiing.
That's
going
to be fun.
We're skiing.
This time of year in Colorado is beautiful. You know that.
Going skiing.
That's
going to
be fantastic. You're going skiing?
Yeah.
How many times have you been skiing?
I was when we lived in Europe, I went a lot when I was younger.
Oh, you're a kid?
Yeah, but I ain't got no time. Like, I'm good at chilling, like in a lounge. You know what I'm saying? Right, looking out the window at the snow. I don't do good in the snow.
Yeah.
It ain't fun like it. But see, my wife from California, dude, you should see when it snowed here the last time, dude, she was in the front. Like, I like snow when it's just chill, ain't no footsteps in it.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Fresh fallen snow.
By the time I woke up, you know, I was waking up. I slept in that morning. I come out, dude, there is body prints all in the snow. TJ, all in the snow.
Little snowmen with the grass in it.
Yes.
That's always the worst.
Yes.
It's great if you can make a snowman and somehow keep the grass out of it. It's very hard to do that with a little amount of snow. I'm with you. I prefer the lodge, too. You sit in the lodge. They got drinks.
Yeah.
Usually they got sports on TV. It's warm. Maybe a fire. It's a nice.
I mean, I've done that before.
Nice ambiance
I've
to
done
sit.
That. I'm like, cool. You want to go snowboarding? For what?
Right. Because you know what happens? It hurts.
Yeah.
Skiing and snowboarding. Like, when I was a kid, it was great. I could go off a jump and fall. No big deal. I went last 2 years ago with my family. Like, the third run down, I fell. Nope. I'm good. That was my hip. That hurt. I don't want to do that anymore.
Nah.
Pain threshold much lower than it used to be. The point
Come
is,
on home, Bo.
Mike Bobo worked in Colorado, and now he doesn't work there anymore. You know what's interesting about being an unemployed coach is if Georgia makes it to the college football playoff, if they beat LSU, they can hire him as an analyst.
Yeah.
They bring him in as a consultant.
I'm gonna tell you what my dream scenario is. I didn't say this on air. It's Bobo OC, or Kirby head coach, of course.
Okay.
Bobo OC, Will Muschamp defensive coordinator. That's my dream scenario right there.
Pretty good.
My dream scenario.
Pretty good. And Bobo, is it? No, it's Muschamp that was the best man in Kirby's wedding, right?
Yes.
But him and Bobo are buddies, too.
Him and Bobo are like brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like brothers. So, yeah, and see, and Bobo's married to Vince's granddaughter, I think.
Oh, is that right?
I think it's granddaughter.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she's granddaughter.
It's all in the Georgia family.
Yeah, let me keep it tight.
Now, what I wonder is, like, James Coley's the coordinator right now, right? And James Coley's got a team, at least he works for a team that's in the SEC championship.
No, James Coley's going to be there still.
Oh, yeah, he's
Coley's
be there
still
going
to be calling plays, yeah.
Okay.
But Bobo, come on home. Because I don't want him to go nowhere else. Yeah.
Brian's pretty convinced that, because Muschamp's not going anywhere. They're keeping him,
yeah,
right?
Bobo might be the
He's going to be the OC at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't people, like, kind of run Bobo out of town when he was the offensive coordinator?
I don't know that about
Georgia.
That. Because
people were pretty ready for him to leave when he left.
See, that's just people unhappy.
We have revisionist history with people.
I never, I was always, because I would call him and cuss him out, man. But what the? But that was, that was a long time ago.
He's got a fun name to say, I'll tell you that.
He's my quarterback. He punked me as a freshman, too.
Please tell that story.
Took my damn wristband.
What'd he do?
So I was a true freshman, right? And so we got to dress the first couple games. And so, coming from Peach County, we had okay stuff. We wore Rydell cleats. Oh, if you're a senior, you got Nike cleats. And we wore the Newman gloves, right? And so I get to Georgia, and everything is Nike. Nike wristbands and everything. So my first game, I had the Nike wristbands on my forearm and everything.
How many?
I had two of them. And so.
One red, one black?
Yeah. And so Bobo, it might have been like the third or fourth quarter. And Bobo, he comes over to the side. Like, I'm standing by the coach. I know I ain't going in, but I'm like looking like I'm into the game. And Bobo looks at me coming out the field. Hey, Red, give me that wristband. You ain't going to play today. Hurt my feelings so bad.
Oh,
just hurt my feelings. Hurt my little 18-year-old feelings.
What did he need it for?
Because he was playing the game. He was sweating. It's hot in Athens in September.
Got it. Early season game.
Yeah, and so I got in the game after, it was garbage time.
Yeah.
And so I got in the game, and I only had three wristbands on. And so I ran back to and so I'm coming off the sideline after 3-9, and he comes over to me and laughs, and he tries to give me that sweaty wristband back.
I don't want it now.
And he's like, I didn't know you were going to play, my bad. But no, yeah. Bobo's awesome. But yeah, he took my damn wristband.
Damn. Well, maybe he'll come back, and maybe he'll bring your wristband as well.
We've had a number of young guys already, getting into the action and getting themselves going, so there doesn't need to be an added emphasis past that. But what is nice is having some of the guys who are back, who've missed some time or gone. And so if we get a chance to get a guy like Lindstrom back and he's able to, be able to compete and go, that would be an example of, somebody that we're going to, get him as much time as he can.
Yeah, that's Dan Quinn talking about getting injured guys back. The question, I think, though, was deciding whether or not to play guys that are kind of hurt now, like Julio Jones. Like, is there an upside to putting Julio Jones on the field for the final four games of the season, given what the season is? Now, look, Dan Quinn's not going to answer that question, first of all. Second of all, I don't think he's going to make decisions like that in the final four games of the year.
That is what keeps – maybe I should have paid attention a little bit more. I was still playing because I didn't really care about when coaches got fired. Like, how do you determine – because you're not coming back. Like, how do you determine the future path of the organization that you're not going to work for? I've always, like, who makes those decisions? Is he making that decision? I'm sure he is. I'm sure Dan is making that decision.
I'm sure he is. I don't know. Would it be fair to assume that there may be a little bit more outside influence than there would have been in years past?
Like who?
I don't know. Arthur Blank, Rich McKay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm going on a limb and say Mr. Blank don't make them calls. Like, hey, I want to see Lindstrom. I'm sure he doesn't make them calls.
Because here's my question, okay? You got the Panthers on Sunday.
Yeah.
Pretty good pass rush, the Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are, but at one point they were leading the NFL in sacks.
They were.
They hit Matt Ryan pretty good a couple weeks ago when they played. Now, Matt had a good game, made some great throws. The Falcons win that game.
Right.
Falcons haven't been able to protect Matt Ryan at all over the last couple of games. 15 sacks in the last two games. If it looks like that again on Sunday, and then you got the 49ers after that.
Hey, man, let me tell you something.
You start making decisions about Matt Ryan's health?
Matt's a football player,
okay.
Bro. Matt's a football player.
I know.
Right? And Matt's not going. Matt is not going to agree with you not playing him. He is not going to agree with that. So But yeah, it's going to be December 15th. Man, it might be some, the massacre in Santa Clara.
It could be an ugly football game. Yeah, man. Or who knows? Maybe, who knows? The Falcons beat the Saints in New Orleans a few weeks ago, and I thought they were going to give up 45, and they gave up 9. Maybe they go out to San Francisco and have some kind of performance.
I ain't worried about the defense.
Probably not.
I'm worried about Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'm worried about the defense too, though, because you know who's calling plays over there for San Francisco?
Yeah.
I don't know why he would be petty, because it's not like anything bad happened.
It's your fault.
He got a better job. He got a head coaching job and left. But you know how people are. You want to go up against your old employer and show them what you can do.
But the thing about it is that, you know, Wes Schweitzer are starting.
Yeah. That's not helpful.
Not at all.
Doesn't do... I mean, if you're thinking about, like, sack numbers for the opposition, like, those numbers those guys are going to put up, that'll help them.
Yeah.
It's not going to – like, Gerald McCoy is probably happy.
Let's hope maybe they have some – like maybe, you know, I know it's not going to happen, but maybe they got the NFC West wrapped up and they just don't play the starters.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They're not even winning the NFC West right now.
I know. They're the wild card.
Oh, man, that's just protect Matt Ryan, okay? Like, try out the get Lindstrom on the field, all that kind of stuff, and see what you got going into next year. But don't go so far as to, like, try guys out and try to analyze guys and get Matt Ryan hurt. That would be a disaster. All right, so the Braves made a move yesterday. They signed Cole Hamels.
And Brian's very upset.
Brian doesn't love it. And I'm just going to read it the way that it was written. And I don't know who wrote it. Might have been Brian, might have been anybody else. Who knows? Here's Cole Hamels on being the team dad.
I've always been following them in hopes of maybe having an opportunity to pitch with some of those guys because they have such good young talent. And I know at my stage in my career, for what I could provide could be beneficial for the similarities of where I was when I was with Billy and I was young.
I'm calling hogwash.
I mean, yeah.
I'm calling hogwash. I don't believe that he was scouring like, boy, that Mike Soroka looked like me when I was his age. Oh, Max Fried. I remember being... I think I'm going to go to the Braves. No, that 18 got you to Atlanta. Man, please.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it sounds good.
That's a nice story.
It sounds good.
It's a nice story.
And let's hope that he does rub off.
Yeah. We keep it tight.
Some of that, you know.
It does happen, though. Like veterans, because if that's not something that's real, then we've been lying about Vince Carter's value to the Hawks for the last 2 years.
Yes, we have. Yes.
And it's not a lie. Like, veterans that have been in these situations before can provide influence, can provide advice or whatever for the young guys. Like, I think Max Fried can learn from Cole Hamels. I don't know that I'm giving Cole Hamels $18 million to be Max Fried's mentor. That's the good thing about Vince Carter. He doesn't get paid that much.
Right.
It's nice to have him. I think Trey Young and some of these other young guys have benefited from having Vince Carter around. Is Cole Hamels more of a contributor to the Braves than Vince Carter is to the Hawks? Because it kind of feels like the same thing based on what I'm hearing from Alex Anthopoulos and Cole Hamels about what his role is going to be. He's going to play.
He's going to play.
He's not going to be the number one starter.
We know that. We know that. But I mean, if this move prevents you from signing the Rainmaker, That's gonna upset me a lot, and we're at a point on this show that we're finding different Braves that we just don't like. I love the Braves, love my Braves, love them. They're just players that I dislike.
Well, you got your guy.
Yeah, I got my guy,
number 77.
You know,
and you got your reasons.
And we ain't got to talk about.
We don't
him.
Have to. No reason to talk about him today.
No, but Brian, he's on that, and Cole didn't do nothing personally to Brian.
No,
he didn't do nothing.
I mean, he was a Philly for a long time.
Like 77 did something personal to me. All right, so that's why I don't like him. You know, he didn't do nothing to Brian.
Yeah, what did he personally do to you besides not be good?
Drove me damn crazy.
Okay. Cole Hamels is now the highest paid Braves. He will become the highest paid Braves pitcher ever in the history of the organization when he makes $18 million next year.
I thought we all calculated there was Mark Melancon.
All right, so I'm reading this from Spotrac.
Okay.
Mark Melancon's base salary is going to be $14 million.
Okay.
But he's carrying a total salary of $19 million. I believe the Braves will pay him $14
million.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
It breaks down. All I know is Dave O'Brien told us now Cole Hamels will be the highest single season paid Braves pitcher of all time.
Passing all the great Braves players.
Passing the great Scott Kazmir, who the Braves paid $16 million in 2018 or 16 or whatever, not to play for the team. So if Cole Hamels makes one pitch, at least he did more for the team than Scott Kazmir did. Damn. Wouldn't it be nice to be an athlete that gets paid not to be on a team? like, the Hawks paid Carmelo Anthony $20-something million to not be on the team last year. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, not even play for you.
Dude, hey, man, just take the 20. We don't want you around.
Yeah, we don't want you here. Yeah, you go away.
We don't want you around.
Here's a nice check to send you on down the road.
He's been playing really well for a while. The question that I make up my mind is, you know, I told him in the beginning of the year, we'll wait until this is over, and we'll make a decision. And right now, there's a lot of good things on tape.
Wow. That's Bruce Arians maybe lying to us or maybe continuing this Jameis Winston process in perfect, like it's going to go on forever.
I think Jameis going to get tagged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to tag Jameis.
What? I mean.
I think they're going to tag him.
Really? Like 5 years of evidence?
I think they're going to tag him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we watched the Falcons game. He was amazing at times and terrible at times.
I mean, I think they're going to tag him.
Jameis Winston, another 4 year. Mm-hmm. Not sure yet.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, he's been amazing at times. He also leads the NFL in interceptions.
Yeah, I think they're going to tag him.
That's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah. It is.
Franchise tag on a quarterback?
They might not have to tag him. Maybe they just might give him the one for like maybe 20 or something. Ain't nobody else going to give it to him.
No, you're right. He's not going to get a big payday. There's no
doubt
about it.
Nobody's going to give it to him.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our lunchtime Falcons report. There are some Grady, although nerdy, Grady Jarrett numbers to get into. I think it tells a bigger picture story about Grady. Try to convince Randy about nerdy stats. Coming up next
not
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt. Four of them things today.
Well, kind of.
There are four, but they're numbered incorrectly.
So is it, technically it's three.
Technically it's three. Brian claims he wanted optionality. So he numbered them that way.
Right.
In case, I don't know, whatever. Sounds like a Jimmy thing to me. Time for the lunchtime Falcons report. Now, Wes Durham joined us earlier. If you want to hear that interview, check it out either on the website, 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. Subscribe to the podcast. It'll be right off the bat in the second hour. You should already be subscribing to the podcast anyway.
It's good.
It's a good podcast.
Good show.
It's just a replay of the show, but it's a good show. So it's a good podcast. You should download it. It would be great. It would help us out. Knox would be happy. And then everyone would be happy. Lunchtime Falcons report. No Wes Durham today, at least at this time. He was with us earlier. But that gives us time to get into a couple of other things. One of them being, I think you can give the Falcons credit at least a little bit for the Ron Rivera era coming to an end.
Right.
Now, I think it might have happened anyway. The way you heard David Tepper talking about mediocrity and wanting to put his stamp on the team and all that, it might have happened anyway. But the Falcons beat the Panthers a couple weeks ago and kind of started this slide that they're on, which ended in Ron Rivera getting let go.
Right.
The Falcons have a worse record than the Panthers do.
Yeah.
The Panthers now have an interim coach. And the Falcons are favored in this football game on Sunday. Is it possible that this matchup of two teams, Falcons versus Panthers, could in effect get both coaching staffs fired this season? Because the Falcons already got Ron Rivera fired. Now you got the interim staff coming here.
The Falcons did not get Ron Rivera fired.
All right. I was just – a little bit. They helped in the process. They greased the tracks, okay? They started to – whatever. Just follow me here, okay? That was a part of it, right? It played into it.
Okay.
Somewhat.
All right.
Well, now you got an interim coaching staff coming in here against Dan Quinn. I don't know if Dan Quinn's fate is sealed or not. I don't know if he can win these final four games and save himself. No one knows.
Right.
Till the season's over. The fact that he's still here means that, to me, there is a chance that he could still be the head coach next season. But what if they lose to the interim coaching staff?
That'd be great.
Feels like a bad
just,
one.
That'd just be great.
Seems like a pretty bad
one.
You
know what I'm saying? Just like, really? I mean, but we can say interim coach, but they still got the same players.
Yeah.
You know, and Coach Ron, he didn't call offense or defense or anything. He was just the CEO of the whole team. I mean, not a lot is going to change from. I mean, you can't make all those those subtle changes, those wholesale changes in 1 week. Now, you heard Wes Scott Turner, North Sun, will be calling plays for the first time, so that should be an advantage. Falcons, I like Scott a lot, but this will be his first time doing his thing, so they should win the football game.
Falcons.
Yeah.
Well, they beat him a couple weeks ago.
They did.
But again, like that's.
But it's the Falcons. It's been like this all season.
Right. There's no way of knowing what you're going to see on Sunday, which to me is like the worst thing you could say about a team, right? Because, I mean, I guess the worst thing you could say about a team is they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons have showed us at times this year that they're not.
Right.
They've showed us at times this year that they are as well. They're capable of being bad any given Sunday, but then they've also given us that weird little taste of the capability of being good on a given Sunday as well.
Right.
So aside from just being a flat bad team, which there are in the NFL, and the Falcons' record says they are too, being this woefully inconsistent is one of the worst things that you can be.
Yeah, it is. It's bad look, man. Let's call it what it is. It's a bad look. They better not lose this damn game, no Panthers. I think DQ's fate is already sealed.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
And you think that it's probably it?
It's it.
Is it? Okay.
But I still don't understand what firing. Well, I take it back. We found out what the Cardinals owner, his reasoning for firing his coach in the middle of the season. He didn't want to talk behind Coach Ron's back and trying to interview another coach. I can't see Mr. Blank doing that to Dan, but boy, it might be in the realm of possibility that if they lose to the Panthers, he might do it.
Well,
might do it.
What would be strange about it is, and again, like this Falcons team being as up and down and as inconsistent as they are, I'm not putting anything past them, but like they played great against the Panthers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They played incredibly well. Like that maybe the best game they've played all season, aside from the week before when they played really well against the Saints. But then the Saints came back over here in the Falcons building and did what they did to them on Thursday night. So like every argument that I can make for the Falcons winning this game can kind of be undone by what the Saints did to them on Thanksgiving night. Because, they look great against them. They've got their whatever matchups. I don't know. Styles make fights. I don't know what it is. Now the Saints came in and put foots in the Falcons handled their business, hit Matt Ryan, got him on the ground 9 times.
Beat him up.
So even though they were able to do that against the Panthers a couple weeks ago, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because they did that to the Saints, and then the Saints figured it out and beat them in their building.
Oh, well, one game doesn't never really have to do another because some things will change up. They'll do some stuff that they didn't do against the Falcons when they played up there in Carolina. But, I mean, they're coming down. Are the Falcons better than the Panthers?
I don't know. You remember
earlier in the year when we were like, oh, they're playing the Titans. They're better.
They're
than
just
the
better than
they're
them.
They're better
beat
than
them.
The Titans. They
yeah,
should beat them.
Right. Yeah. When you
are make, they better than the Panthers?
In some areas, okay. They are. Their pass rush isn't. And if the Panthers' pass rush is going to make Matt Ryan uncomfortable all day, then you're not better than them, right? Because Matt Ryan's better than the Panthers quarterback situation.
And if this is a case in which their coach Fuel was talking about, we're doing it for Coach Ron, then they might be coming in here inspired.
They
might be in here inspired and just want to just get after the passer. You know, Coach Ron was a defensive guy, so man.
Here's Dan Quinn talking about preparing for a team with a coaching change.
They've got a rock solid, program, foundation, philosophy of how they do things. So much like when a new quarterback comes in, there'll be some tweaks to it, you would think, but not wholesale as it goes. So that's usually, for us, the best way to go about it. Will there be some new wrinkles? For sure. Wholesale changes. They have a real belief in their system. Certainly with Norv and Scott, I would think on more than one occasion they've talked football around the dinner table.
Yeah, exactly. Like everything that you just said is what Dan Quinn was sort of saying there as well. They've got the same players. They've got the same system. They're going to do basically the same stuff that they've been doing, maybe with some new wrinkles, but they don't have their head coach anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's different. So the process of the week is going to be at least slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat them in their house a few weeks ago. So at least on a given day, you can be better than them. That's what I mean. If you turn around and lose to that team, that's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow.
That's a bad, bad look, man. Is it worse than anything else? I mean, look at the season. It's been a wash season anyway. So with this pile on right here, if you do happen to lose on Sunday,
that's an interesting way to put it. What could actually make it worse?
What could make it worse?
Maybe the glass half empty version of looking at things. But that's the reality when you're 3-9.
Yeah.
What could, beside the obvious of guys getting like long term injuries, which no one wants and no one wants to talk about and even speak into existence. But just in terms of results on a given game. What could make it worse? I don't know. Panthers coming in here and blowing you out on Sunday would be pretty bad.
Or somebody getting hurt
that
you don't want to get hurt or something like that. That'd be bad.
Kevin Coleman scoring a whole bunch of touchdowns in a couple weeks from now would make it worse for some.
God.
That'd be pretty
bad. Can you wait for that one? Oh,
that'd be a tough one.
Can you wait for that one? Oh, I told you. Knew the Falcons should have kept him. Everybody wanted to run Tevin out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he fumbles too much. Oh, I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now.
Hey, I'm going to try to say Pro Football Focus and Next Gen Stats to you and elicit a reaction that is about the stat, okay? You ready? You ready for this? Okay. Pro Football Focus currently has Grady Jarrett listed as the fifth best interior defensive lineman in the NFL through 13 weeks, giving him an elite grade of 89, making him the highest graded player on the Falcons.
So?
Okay. According to Next Gen Stats, Grady Jarrett's 17 run stuffs are the most by any player in the league this season.
So?
Well, that's good, though. I mean, that's a good number, 17 run stuffs.
Who cares?
I don't really know what a run stuff is.
Exactly. Who cares what they think?
That means you're tackling a guy with
the football.
You know
what? I watch most of the Falcons, every Falcon game, most of all, you know, every single play. Grady's the MVP of this team.
Yes.
I don't need no dorks to tell me that.
Now, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
For me, sometimes that stuff is just either verifying what you've seen.
No, don't.
Or giving
no,
you
no,
an
no, it doesn't. Okay, no, it doesn't. Well, because you look at some of them grades and everything, and you're like, how the hell is he? How did, dude?
I agree with
man,
that.
Whatever, dude.
I agree with that.
Everybody looking at listening.
The other thing that it does for me sometimes is I say, oh, 17 run stuffs. That's interesting. I'm going to watch a little bit more closely for Grady in the run game or something this week. And the bottom line is what you're saying. Grady Jarrett has been the MVP, not just of the defense, but of the team.
Of the team,
and Grady is clearly, as we go forward, whether we don't know the actual fate of Dan Quinn and this coaching staff at the end of the season, we do know the fate of some players. Like Grady's going to be here for a while.
Yes.
Deion Jones is going to be here for a while.
Yes.
Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, some of the rookies over the last couple, these guys are going to be here.
Yes.
So for me, these final four games, yes, I want to see Grady continue to do well. Unfortunately, Grady being the MVP of the team hasn't meant much this season because they're 3-9. I want to see some of what some other guys can do that can actually make a case to be here going forward, because there's going to be a lot of changes next season.
It is, man. It's going to be wholesale changes, but we know this. They're up against the cap, so if you look thinking that whenever the top free agent lists come out and everybody gets all, oh, can the Falcons use this guy, you're not going to get one of those guys, all right? I mean, you're going to have a little bit of relief. We don't know what Alex Mack is going to do, and it's going to be some other guys that come off the books. But you don't know what's going to happen with the team. But you do know this. You got to hit on the draft picks wherever you go. You got to find a way to fix. Because if they don't fix this offseason, whether it's Thomas or whoever else is going to be the new general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, if you don't fix what's going on in the trenches of your football team, it don't matter. Does not matter at all. If you, I mean, some people tell you, well, they need an elite pass rush. Just get you a good one. Just get you a good one. You know, I mean, oh, they need a great. No, just get you a good person right there. Get you a player that ain't going to kill you. I think that's more than anything. Get you a player that may not be the elite, may not be the highest paid or whatever, but he can play football and go out there and get results for what you need him to do.
Yeah, but
go do that.
You know what, though? I would I'd take an elite one.
Hell yeah.
I'd take an elite pass rusher. I'm with you. Because that's
the thing that
we haven't seen.
I'm with you. But
in the draft history of Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn, there's not an elite pass rusher. Is there an elite offense now? Who knows? Maybe Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom will turn out. They're too young to grade right now. Lindstrom hadn't even played. Played half a game. Is there an elite player on either line? Grady, maybe.
No, Grady's an elite player.
Grady.
Yes. Yes.
Grady's a fifth-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So they found great value there. You got to repopulate, especially the defensive line, through the draft the next couple of years. Right. And these guys haven't done that.
All right, speaking of our Falcons, make sure you turn into 929 The Game 2 hours before every game for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off with Harry Douglas and Paul Crane.
Woo.
As they will preview the Falcons game upcoming matchup. Countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light and is brewed for the Dirty Birds.
That was a 3-9 woo.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's all right.
Low energy woo. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to some damn good dog questions. Brian Gebhardt, who's still angry about Cole Hamels, is going to step in studio with us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talked through the bumper music, and I don't feel bad about it.
Damn dork.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Thursday, 20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. What's going on over
there?
Not
much, man. Nothing,
what? What happened?
Nothing, dude.
You sure?
I'm great.
Okay.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, hey, Brian.
I know what you were doing.
What was he doing?
He was thinking about that question from yesterday.
Which one?
Who's the most important player besides Jake Fromm and Joe Burrow and all that stuff? That's what you were thinking about, right?
Yeah.
What was your answer, Randy? I know you've been thinking about
the
whole last 24
Jake
hours.
Fromm.
Okay.
Besides Jake Fromm, the most important player on Saturday is Jake Fromm.
Yep.
I like that. It's an excellent way of thinking about the football game on Saturday. Hey, speaking of that football game on Saturday, the SEC championship game, by the way, is what we're talking about. Georgia's taking on LSU at 4 o'clock right here in Atlanta. Were you aware of that?
Dog, I almost forgot.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Yeah,
snuck up on you. Our guy Brandon Adams, the host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast, he's going to join us at 1:20 to talk about that football game. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. That will be after What's Trending, which is 20 minutes away from right now. And right now, it's time for Brian and some Georgia questions.
It's time for some damn good dog questions with Brian Gephardt.
So we were talking about this a little bit before the show started, and it's something that people usually point to with high-powered offenses as far as keeping them off the field, and that's time of possession. But for this game particularly, in this matchup, how big of a role will it play on Saturday?
I honestly don't know. I mean, because I said it earlier in the show, I think that the dogs should make them possess the ball because you don't want that quick strike. You know what I'm saying? But what if they quick strike? I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters as much as I think some people will try to make it matter.
Like Georgia has to possess the ball to keep their offense off the field. They'll say that, and which is true.
But I think the more important number, and this seems ridiculous to say, but I've got a couple stats to back it up here. I think the more important number is making sure that LSU's drives, if they're going on scoring drives, take longer. Like if LSU's scoring on you in 45 seconds, like we talked to Jacob Hester yesterday, right? And he told us a story about how multiple times this season, the defense came off the field, grab a water, sit down on the bench, getting ready to drop something on, and they got to immediately go back out there. Not because the offense turned the ball over, because LSU doesn't turn the ball over very much. That's the crazy thing about Joe Burrow. As much as he throws the ball this year, he doesn't give it up all that often.
Six interceptions?
But they score fast.
Yeah, they do
and
score fast.
The common thought is, the conventional wisdom is, if you can dominate time of possession, then maybe you can beat a team. And look, maybe that will be true in this game. I just think that we've got a misconception of that number when we talk about LSU, because Arkansas dominated the time of possession against LSU. 40 minutes they had the ball. LSU scored 56 points on them. If you score in 30 seconds, it doesn't matter if you have the ball on sustained drives. So to me, the most important thing is, and we've talked about this for a couple weeks now, in order to beat LSU, they're going to put up yards on you.
Yep.
Don't get freaked out by the yard total.
Yep.
As long as the point total is in increments of three. If you can hold them to field goals when they get into the red zone, you can beat this football team. They're going to put up yards, man. I don't know if they're going to put up 500 yards like they did against Auburn. Hopefully not. But they're going to put up a lot of yards. This offense just does that.
That's what they do, man.
But if you can bow up in the red zone and keep them out of the end zone, you can beat this team.
I'll tell you when it will become if the outcome of the game, if it's 24-23, the possession would matter.
Sure.
But if they're just smacking Georgia, it ain't going to matter.
Right.
And that's why I said if Georgia wins this game, it's got to be in the 20s. They cannot let this game get in the 30s. All right, you just can't.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You got to keep it in the 20s. We've seen it done. Now, they gave up a whole, like we talked about earlier, Auburn gave up a whole hell of a lot of yards. Whole lot of yards. But they didn't give up the points.
Yeah. And that's, to me, along with hopefully, because one thing Auburn actually did in that game was create a couple turnovers. LSU fumbled a punt as well as Burrow actually threw an interception. You're going to have takeaways to win this game.
Yes, you got to do something. I don't want to say the orthodox, because I don't want you to feel like you got to go have an out-of-body experience to win this football game. And they don't have to have that. They just got to play, because they got the same amount of athletes as LSU has.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that they have that Georgia doesn't, their quarterback playing out of his mind. And they got two dudes on the outside. But I'll take DeAndre Swift with their running back. Mm-hmm. I'll take them both neck and neck. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it, they got the one position that you need in order to win championships, and he's playing lights out.
He is. The other thing, though, and I think we said this off the air yesterday, maybe on there, I don't know. Joe Burrow has been fantastic
this year. He hasn't had
a bad game.
Real.
He is a quarterback in college, though. Like, you can make him uncomfortable if you can get back there. You can hit him and maybe throw his rhythm off a little bit. I don't think he's going to get rattled.
He's not going to get rattled.
But if you can make him uncomfortable, he'll give you the football. Like, we're not talking about Superman here. We're talking about a guy who's had a good college football season, who might win the Heisman Trophy.
And we can say, well, Georgia's been here 3 years ago, so this is not unfamiliar territory for them. When's the last time LSU was in the SEC Championship game?
It probably was the last time against Georgia.
Was that the last time
11.
Against Georgia?
They may have been one other time, but I have to double check
that. Okay, yeah. I think it was
11, I think.
And I don't want to be like, oh, well, no, because I think if you're a good player, you're a good player. I think Coach Orgeron will have his team ready to play.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be, you know, so I don't want to say that Georgia has the advantage of that because this is their third year in a row in this game.
Yeah, I'm less enamored with the experience factor being like LSU is going to get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and be like, wow, this is big and scary. Like, I'm not worried about that. Georgia's been there. The experience that matters for me with Georgia is a lot of these guys have been on the team that were good enough to get to this game 3 years in a row.
Right.
So they're just seasoned players. Like, not the fact that they've been in the SEC championship game three times, that they're good enough to have been in the SEC championship game three times, and a lot of those guys are still on this football team. That's where the experience matters to me.
Is this a first quarter game in the sense of you're going to find out exactly how this game is going to flow and react? No, it's going to be adjustments throughout type of a game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I think this is going to go down to the fourth quarter. I don't want to say last possession. You asked a funny question yesterday, or it may have been a day in the bullpen. Would you rather have Georgia's offense or defense on the field with the last possession to go? And I was like, wow, that is a great question.
What's the answer?
Yeah, what is the answer?
I think I'd rather have – depends. Say they're down or a tie 20-20, I'd rather have the offense.
Right.
Because Hot Rod's going to bang it, baby.
Score and win.
All right, but here's the question. So would you rather your defense be on the field up a touchdown, or would you rather your offense be on the field down a touchdown?
I'd rather my defense be on the field up a touchdown.
Yeah, because I'm up.
Yeah, I'm up.
I'm trying to think if there's a scenario where I'm comfortable being down. Like, say I'm down two, right? Would I rather be offense on the field down two or defense on the field up six? Whew. I think I'd go defense on the field up six. Because I feel more comfortable with their ability to protect that lead than I do with Georgia's offense's ability to get down there and kick a field goal. Man. But I do think that's what it's going to come down to, though. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU jumps out to a good start.
Yep.
Just because of the way that their offense is. But we've seen Kirby's defenses be able to make great adjustments. My mic is trying to fall over. I don't know why.
I'm looking at it
right
now.
I don't know why it's trying to fall over, right? It didn't want me to say this point. I wouldn't be surprised if LSU jumps out to a lead. But that's just when Kirby's philosophy is even more important. And they stick with it, because if Georgia wins this game, just like if Georgia wins any game, it's a four-quarter strangling of your opponent.
It's a four-quarter game, and it's one of those games where when you get in the red zone, you got to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You can't. That's why I said earlier, Ricardo Blankenship, Hot Rod, Rico.
He might be this all-time leading scorer, but he's still just a kicker to Randy.
Yeah, he is.
Damn.
He's a weapon, Randy.
He's a weapon, dude.
Also, he's an academic All-American.
Yes. He's an SEC Scholar of the Year.
So there
good
you go.
You, man. Good. That's
Hot
awesome.
Rod, baby. How many of those did we get to there, Brian?
Yeah, one and a half.
One and a half of them?
Yeah.
All right. I understand why you misnumbered them now. All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour.
Hold on, we only got to one.
All right, we got
to
one.
I made up one. Another one. I like to do that sometimes.
Okay. So we got to two out of five.
You see, I'm snitching.
Brandon Adams is going to join us from Dog Nation Daily at 120 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.